The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in that house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's words we have from Jesus follow on the heels of last Sunday's reading, the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ walks up the mountain, his followers, onlookers, those of curiosity gather at the foot of him and hear his famous words. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And now we come to this. These words of Christ. These words of Christ are meant to serve as a pep talk, as encouragement, as get out there, live out your faith, spread the good news, share the word of God and the love of God with others. It was a word for those followers 2,000 years ago, and it remains a word of encouragement for us 2,000 years later. Christ begins his pep talk by talking about salt. Salt. I have brought salt because they say that if you talk about something, you should actually show the something. Here I have a container of salt. It costs less than a dollar. We don't think about salt a whole lot in our world. Through the Industrial Revolution, mechanization, trade, the internal combustion engine, salt is plentiful and salt is cheap. In fact, when we talk about salt here in the year 2010, 2011, when we talk about salt, we usually talk about salt in negative terms. In terms of our blood pressure, in terms of our health, in terms of what our children are eating, in terms of processed food. But salt has many good qualities as well. True, we enjoy salt a little bit too much. In Canada, the average Canadian, this is an average, some will be less, good for you, some will be more, woe to you. The average Canadian consumes 7 pounds of salt, according to Health Canada. 7 pounds. This is a half pound. So 14 of these a year you will consume. Now, it doesn't mean you're dumping it on your mashed potatoes or putting it in your cereal, but you are. Salt is found in your cereal. Salt is found in your potato chips. Salt is found in most all foods. In fact, salt is so available, salt is so prevalent, that the governments of the world decided that we should add iodine to salt, because they figured every human being pretty much gets salt, and every human being needs iodine. But salt has many good qualities. We need salt in our bodies. Salt provides electrolytes that thin our blood. Salt provides the electrolytes that help make the neurotransmissions and electricity flow through our body, things for our hearts to pump, for the muscles to work. Salt helps us to retain moisture. Salt helps us to preserve and keep food. Salt is a purifier. Salt can be used for medicinal purposes. If you've ever been to Watrous or seen at Manitou Lake, as all the seniors come with their sores and open gaping wounds and walk into that soup and float around, clearly we believe that salt has medicinal purposes as well. Salt is plentiful. Salt is cheap. In fact, a person could say that salt is almost free. I can go to McDonald's. I don't recommend you do this. I could walk to the condiment bar and I could just scoop up 18,000 packets of salt. I could put them in my jacket pocket and I could walk out of McDonald's. And nobody would arrest me. Nobody would tackle me in the parking lot. You would not hear my name on Crime Stoppers at 4 o'clock on the radio. And my family could have every meal ripping apart little salt packets. That's how plentiful and virtually free that salt is. But there was a time in human history, thousands of years ago, when salt was worth more than gold. Gold won't keep you alive. Gold you cannot eat. Gold will not preserve your food. Gold will not help you store your crops and your poultry and your fish and your beef. But salt will. And there was a time thousands of years ago when salt was hard to come by. You see, salt couldn't be mined thousands of years ago because guess what? They didn't have the metal tools. They couldn't just dig into the side of a hill. So, what did they do? The ladies would take their clay jars. They would go out into the sea, maybe the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, the ocean. They would fill their jars up. They would walk back to home and they would hope the sunlight would slowly evaporate the water, create a salt brine, and they could use the salt from what was left after evaporation. Fast forward a few generations of human history, the Persians realized they could do this on a large scale. They could go to the sea. They could dig a trench or a channel from the Red Sea, bring it into a low-lying piece of land, and the sun would evaporate the water, and what left behind would be that white chalky substance called salt. The Persians realized they could take this salt. They could use it, give it to their citizens, but they could also sell it to those cultures and countries and travelers and people that did not have access to salt. We know in the Old Testament, but in thousands of years ago, salt is important. The first instance of salt we have in the Old Testament is Lot's wife. When she turns around to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and turns into, yes, you guessed it, a pillar of salt. We move forward to the time of the Exodus and we come to the book of Leviticus, the law book of the Old Testament, and we're told by God how much salt to pay a foreign laborer for their work for a day's work. We're also told in Leviticus that God wants salt added to the burnt offerings. When you bring your ram, when you bring your calf, when you bring your bird to the altar, to the temple for a burnt offering, God wants salt added to it. Because just like the animal you bring, salt has value. And God wants you to recognize His importance, His presence over your life by adding salt to the offering. Now we move ahead to the time of Christ. And we have Christ talking about salt. In fact, Christ says to His followers and to us that we are like, you guessed it, salt. Does that mean we're cheap and easy and bad for your health and basically free? No. During the time of Christ, in Jesus' world, salt was valuable. The Romans controlled a huge army. The Romans also controlled all salt production in the world. And let's say you're a government and you want to pay for your big programs You want to pay for your infrastructure, for your roads, for your coliseums, for your libraries, for your schools, for your army. What do? Well, you institute the GST. No. Here in the modern world, we can have a GST. Why? Because everything is controlled by computers. We know where the money flows. We know where the businesses operate. We know who has the licenses. We know who has GST numbers. The government can follow the flow of money. They can take their 5% off every dollar spent in the economy, and they can fund all these programs. But Rome had a different problem. There was no computers. There was no Canadian Revenue Agency. So how do they basically tax their citizens? Well, they can try and guess how much their citizens make, but most things are done by barter. There's no T4 handed out by the orchard owner at the end of the year. Most laborers work for a day wage or goods in trade. So how can the government really figure out how to extract money out of these people? You can set arbitrary figures how much they're supposed to pay, but that's still a guessing game. So the Roman government controlled the production of salt. They knew that every person needed salt. So they could simply just raise the price of salt and make more money for themselves during times of war, times of conflict, you name it, whatever industrious program they have going on, and then lower it during times of peace or to give the people a break. So salt during Christ's time was very important. It was controlled by the government. Kind of like we have a liquor board store downtown that controls the sale of all alcohol in the province. The government can decide to raise the price or lower the price. Same with salt during the time of Christ. In fact, salt was so important that the Roman army, the centurions, the warriors, were paid with salt. In fact, the name for salt in Latin, the language of Rome, is salarium. Not solarium like a sunroom, but salarium like saline. And guess what modern word has the same root today? Do I hear it?
Salary,
yes. Our English word for what we make today, what you get every 2 weeks maybe at your job, comes from the Roman word for salt. Because their laborers were paid in salt. Have you ever heard the phrase, he is worth his salt? Ever wonder what that means? It means you're worth what you're paid. That you're important. That you're a hard worker. That you're industrious. Salt during the time of Christ is very important. The world needed salt. Our world needs salt. Christ says the world needed followers, people of faith, people of God. Our world needs followers, people of faith, people of God. Christ says, you are the salt of the earth. The world needs you in everything. You provide the energy. Salt. You purify. You bring healing to wounds, to conflict, to pain, to anguish. As salt can heal you. As a Christian, as salt of the earth, bring healing. Salt is a preservative. As Christians, we preserve the Word of God. We preserve the things of God. We preserve the groups that we join. We bring an idea of love, of charity. We preserve these ideas in the world. As salt preserves food, we persevere and preserve in our world. Flavor. We provide flavor. A flavor of joy, a flavor of new life, a flavor of hope and expectancy to those around us. We, as Christ says, are called to be salt of the world. But Christ poses the question to us, what happens when salt loses its saltiness? I can ask the same question today, phrased differently. What happens when a can loses its soup? It's garbage. It's useless. The same is true for salt. If salt quits being salt, it is simply dirt to be trampled on underfoot. As Christians, if we lose our saltiness, if we quit providing hope, if we quit trying to work for healing, if we quit trying to bring joy, then what good are we? What good is our faith? Christ uses the analogy of a lamp. You've got a great work to light your lamp, and you hide it under a bushel. It provides no light. It provides no warmth. It provides nothing. You might as well not even have lit it. For us, our faith is called to be active, called to be living, called to be engaging into the world. It is not just a personal relationship between us and God. My faith does not just call me into a personal relationship with Christ. My faith is to call me into a personal relationship with my neighbor, with the needs of those around me, into the lives of co-workers, of family and friends, into something deeper, so that I can work to bring healing and hope and joy to the world. If we just keep it to ourselves, if the salt never gets mixed into the bread, the dough will never rise. If the lamp never comes out from under the bushel, the darkness will never decrease. And if we do not get active in the world, our faith will never grow. God has given us an awesome responsibility, an awesome task. But we have the good news of the gospel to guide us. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit to energize us. We have a knowledge of a new tomorrow to give us hope that the injustices of today, the wrongs that cause us so much grief, the things that we cannot seem to fix or repair or change, are not eternal. Those things which we're told are eternal are the things that we hold on to: faith, hope, and love. And we should live our lives recognizing that these are the things that last. Not monetary things, not things that we can possess, things we can park in our garage, things we can put in our house, but things that we are given. Love. The love from others. Faith. Faith in God. And hope in a new creation, in a new future, in which the wrongs are righted, in which the disease is wiped out, in which evil is trampled underfoot, in which we live in the harmony that God intended for us. This is the good news of our lives. But our word for today is not stop being salty. To get into the world, to permeate the world. It doesn't take a lot of salt to make a dish perfect. It doesn't take a lot of salt to wreck a dish either. Salt is powerful stuff. Salt might be free. Our love is free. Salt might be widely available now. Hopefully we're widely available. Salt is important. And hopefully we're important to the world. Because if we're not, if we just exist inside these walls, if we just exist in personal meditations in our easy chair, we've lost our saltiness. And Christ says that's a real danger. We are supposed to pour ourselves out. Pour out our hearts, pour out our energy, and pour out our gifts into the betterment of others. I look forward to the opportunity. Amen.